The sermon today is titled, We Faint Not. It's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Paul is writing about his work and the work of the apostles. He says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, We are pressed on every side, yet not straitened, perplexed, yet not unto despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, smitten down, yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. His challenges are evident. We read about them in Scripture. He refers to them here, and not only to his, but to the challenges that he and the other apostles had to deal with. Life has a way of bringing challenges to the forefront, has a way of filling us with doubts, concerns, has a way of making us wonder how things will turn out. And the lives of the apostles, they were much the same, as were the lives of the saints that we read about in the New Testament. And yet Paul says, we faint not. Newer translations say we do not lose heart. In 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 16, he says, Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I think Paul understood better than many of us about the decay of the outward man and the body as it begins to wear down and the vision as it begins to weaken and the hearing as it begins to fade, and life has a way of making each day just a little bit harder until one day you realize that you're not a young person anymore. Life under the sun is fleeting, and it's described by James in James 4:14 as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And Psalm 90 verse 10, that psalm says the days of our years are 70 years and 10. Or if by reason of strength 80 years, yet is there pride but labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone and we fly away. We may live 70 years or 80 years. We've known some of our own number who have been blessed with a longer life still. And yet, the blessing of life holds, really, as the psalmist says, their pride is but labor and sorrow. What life brings for one who lives longer is labor and sorrow. And life is soon gone and we fly away. That sounds fatalistic, but the scripture helps us understand that life under the sun has an uncertain and a fleeting character. Job, when he was struggling and suffering after the devil had taken away his family and taken away his wealth and taken away his health, Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. So the admonition of Scripture is seen in Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember also thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Make good use of your younger days before the challenges of age take hold. To the world, to those who refuse to believe in the inward man, who refuse to believe in God and have no hope of heaven, the realization of that idea that life here is all we have, it can be devastating. And some turn to a rather foolish idea that we'll just eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we're going to die. And they throw caution to the wind and they live promiscuous, carefree lives. And they just think this is all we have. But Christians can face this truth that life is fleeting and it is uncertain. We can face that truth calmly with trust in God. We understand the but though of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. But though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man will die. That's true. There's no way around that unless Jesus returns to earth before we die. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 27 said, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this cometh judgment. And that's true. But for the Christian, we understand what Peter was saying in 1 Peter 1:23 when he says, we have been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which liveth and abideth. God's word lives. It abides. It's a constant. It's a constant in this world and the world to come. We were raised with Christ to walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4. He starts that thought with a bit of a question in verse 3. Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Everyone who was baptized for the right reasons, coming to the Lord in belief and seeking forgiveness of sins and baptism, we were baptized into his death. And he says in verse 4, we were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of light. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are to be those transformed by the renewing of our minds, as we read in Romans 12, verse 2. Not conformed to the world, but transformed. We know the profit of affliction. That's what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. The scripture acknowledges freely that we all must deal with afflictions, but it should help us to compare maybe our afflictions to the one who wrote in verse 17 for our light affliction. In the same letter, in chapter 11, in verse 23 beginning, he's defending his apostleship and dealing with some who were false apostles and false teachers. And he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as one beside himself. He just thinks it's foolish to have to make this defense. But he says, are they ministers of Christ? I more. In labors more abundantly, in prisons more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in deaths oft, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of rivers, in perils of robbers, in perils from my countrymen, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in labor and travail, in watchings often. That's a reference to sleepless nights, most likely. In hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things, he writes, that are without, there is that which presseth upon me daily, anxiety for all the churches. And that kind of inward emotional concern can be much more difficult to deal with than those outward things in many ways. And so he gives this list of what he has dealt with as one working in the kingdom. And then he says, you know, besides all of that, there is that which presseth upon me daily, anxiety for all the church, all the churches. Paul understood afflictions. And he wasn't saying that such challenges are not hard to endure. No, not at all. But rather that in comparison to the eternal weight of glory they work for us, they are light. And they are momentary in comparison, which also makes them light when we compare that to the eternal nature of the blessings. Nothing we might endure here is a heavy burden if we can see the exceeding and eternal weight of the glory they are producing for us. Peter taught similarly, very much the same thing. In 1 Peter 4, in verses 12 and 13, he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which cometh upon you to prove you." It's a test. "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which cometh upon you to prove you, as though a strange thing happened to you. But insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, rejoice, that at the revelation of his glory also you may rejoice with exceeding joy." Peter is acknowledging that there are fiery trials in life. And when they come upon us, we ought not think it such a strange thing. We can look at them as a test. God will let us prove ourselves. It's not like something strange happened to us. It's happened to other Christians. But we need to look at it as a chance to partake of Christ's suffering so that we can rejoice at the revelation of his glory. And we can rejoice with exceeding joy. We can glory in tribulation. Romans 5, beginning in verse 3. We read this last week. "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh steadfastness, and steadfastness approvedness, and approvedness hope, and hope putteth not to shame." We need to be mindful of that, something that we can stop and think about from time to time. We not only stand by faith, we not only rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but we rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that that kind of tribulation helps make us steadfast, and that has a benefit. Steadfastness brings approvedness. Approvedness brings hope. Hope doesn't put us to shame, because the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts. God's poured his love out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. We are, in fact, perfected in our trials. James said, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations." Are you beginning to see the pattern? A pattern of joy in tribulation? A pattern of joy in the chance to prove ourselves faithful? Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. And so we do not lose heart. We do not faint. We are being renewed day by day, laying up an exceedingly great eternal weight of glory with God. And we are then preserved by fixing our gaze on the unseen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. As my friend Gary Fisher says, and I've mentioned it to various ones through the years, when Peter looked at Jesus, he walked on water. But when he looked at the storm, he sank. That's true about our daily lives. If we get too distracted by the things of the world, either in pursuit of material blessings or fear of physical challenges, and we take our eyes off of Jesus, we'll sink. Jesus wondered about his faith, O ye of little faith. He wondered why he doubted. We're talking about spiritual eyes, not physical eyes. Consider Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. He prayed that having the eyes of your heart enlightened, the eyes of your heart enlightened. Some translations talk about the eyes of your understanding, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to that working of the strength of his might. Leaning on him, trusting him, seeing the greatness of his power toward us, seeing the greatness of the work, the strength of his might. Colossians 2:3-3, set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For ye died and your life is hid with Christ in God. It's time to look homeward. And ours must be a deliberate focus. Have you ever heard this bit of driver's ed wisdom? My driver's ed teacher, so many years ago now, he would say, look where you're driving because you'll drive where you're looking. Well, you know that's true. We have a tendency, if we look off the road, if we're not careful, to drive off the road. Life is the same. We tend to go where we're looking. And Jesus taught the same thing in Matthew 6:21, for where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? We need to fill our minds with light. We need to set our minds on things above. We need to lay our treasure in heaven so our heart will be there and we will go where we're looking. So we consider what Paul said to the Corinthians. Wherefore we faint not. But though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let us set our minds on things above. Let us set our eyes on Jesus. And let's not look away at the storms of life or the attractions of life. And let us not faint, not lose heart, even though our body is decaying, our inward man is renewed. And let us keep our minds fixed on the light affliction and the momentary nature of it and how it works for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. I hope this has been helpful to you. It is helpful to me to stop and think about these things. And I pray that God may bless you. And if the Lord wills, we'll continue with a study on Wednesday.